This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. According to findings from state health officials, dental care remains the number one unmet health care need among Ohio's children. Two state senators have introduced a bill that aims to improve access to dental care. Senate Bill 98 would create a license for a mid-level care provider called a dental therapist. And here to discuss Senate Bill 98 and the need for greater access to dental care are past president of the Ohio Dental Association, Dr. Mark Bronson of Bronson Dental, Dr. Lawrence Hill, executive director of the American Association for Community Dental Programs, and Ann Neighbor, Legislative Committee Chair and past president of the Ohio Dental Hygienists Association. You can be part of our conversation, 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Ann, Dr. Bronson, Dr. Hill, thank you for joining me this afternoon. Much appreciated.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Dr. Hill, start us off by telling us what's going on with dental care in our area in terms of accessibility, especially among children.
Well, what's going on in Cincinnati and the greater Cincinnati region is really not all that dissimilar to what's going on across the country, and it's been going on for decades. We have some of the best dental care in the world if you have insurance or if you can afford to get it. If you can't, if you don't have insurance or you can't afford the out-of-pocket expenses, then accessibility to dental care is a real problem. Lower-income folks, folks that are geographically isolated or living in rural areas, some of the more rural areas around Cincinnati, I have a real problem with access to care. Had kids in Head Start for a number of years. One of the requirements is that kids in Head Start have an examination as a part of their physical, and then they're required, the programs are required to get follow-up care for the kids. This has been a real issue for a long, long time. So it's, you know, it's an expense issue. There's Medicaid issues that are involved. The dentists, I think, in this area have been great about volunteer activities, but that's not a system of care. And so those of us in public health who try to look at this problem from a 30,000-foot perspective have, you know, have been really searching for a long time for some solutions.
Now, how much of an impact does dental health have on a person's overall health, Dr. Bronson? How important is it to that big picture?
Dental health is extremely important. I mean, anything that we eat, anything that we consume, it goes through our mouth and into our bodies to give us the nutrition and the efforts for us to be able to do what we do on a day-to-day basis. Oral health is extremely important, and it's definitely something that's tied to overall health. One of the concerns, you know, as you're talking about that we're trying to address is 96% of the publicly insured are the insured kids that are on some sort of Medicaid problem are Medicaid insurance or within a 15 minutes of a Medicaid dentist. So sometimes it's just the dissemination of providers, but there is a large percentage that do have access to care. But some of it is just the knowledge of knowing that they need to go and they need to be taken care of.
And the Ohio Department of Health has found that about 80% of third graders are getting dental health care on a regular basis. 13% are getting some care, but maybe not as much as they should be. 3% of the parents say their kids have never seen a dentist. Do those stats sound about right to you?
Yes, they do. Very much so. I know the clinic at Sinclair, we do Head Start Day, and we will see 60, 80, 100 kids. Lots of times it's their first visit. They have not been to a dental office. They can't afford to go.
Dr. Bronson, do those stats surprise you at all?
No, those stats don't surprise me. I think they do tend to kind of pan out roughly around that same area.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the, besides insurance, Dr. Hill, what are some of the other barriers to not getting proper dental care?
Well, there's a number of them, and we refer to a lot of those as social determinants of health. You know, for example, transportation can be a problem. The hours that dental offices are open can be a problem. There can be a real cultural divide. You know, the culture of dentistry is First of all, dentists working in small dental practices are running, it's healthcare, but it's also a business. And I think for most people that go regularly to a dentist, they understand that the culture of dentistry, you should go twice a year. You be on time for your appointments. You pay your bill on time. That's kind of what the culture of dentistry is. The culture of poverty is something totally different. And I think sometimes we're dealing with a cultural difference. The culture of poverty is oftentimes, you know, I do what I have to do to get through the day. I have to do what I do to put a roof over our head, put food on the table. And sometimes that doesn't match up. And again, I think we have a general issue throughout the public. I think education is an issue, and understanding that oral health is a part of overall general health care, and can have some serious consequences if it's not taken care of. That's certainly a part of the problem, but I don't think it's the whole problem at all.
And there are a lot of programs in public schools that provide dental sealants to children. Can you explain to us what a sealant on the teeth does and how this is an important preventative measure?
It's a very economical, cheap way of preventing caries. If there are deep grooves in the teeth, it takes a matter of minutes to do, just a few minutes to place those. You will put the sealant in those grooves and layer it and even it out as long as their bite's not off, and you seal that, those can last for years. If you think about the size of a toothbrush, someone's ability to brush their teeth, or even if they have a toothbrush and they cannot get into those little grooves and the food lays there, the bacteria love it. It's warm, dark, moist, and you're going to prevent decay. Bacteria likes a warm, dark little hiding place, like a little cave. The sealant fills it in, and then you cannot get the food and the bacteria in those areas. And I know the ADA has a stat that they looked at, and the policy is that it used to be you didn't place a sealant if you suspected decay. Now we know with studies that even if decay has just started and stopped, go ahead and place that sealant. It covers it over. Bacteria can't live. Food's not getting to them. They're not getting oxygen. They're not getting nutrients.
Are enough children getting the sealants on their teeth, Dr. Bronson, you think?
We can always do better. I mean, there's a significant number of school programs like you talked about that are going on here around the city. There's a great program at Euler. There's also a great program at the Crest Smile Shop that is doing fantastic things. Raymond Walters is one of our fantastic facilities that do sealants on a consistent basis. But, you know, we can always do better. Any tooth that is decayed is one tooth too many. But one thing we found is we're never going to be able to drill and fill our way out of the problem. We can't drill our way, out of the problem because by just creating more people that are going to drill, fill, and do all that type of thing, it's not going to improve the situation. As we've revamped things like Medicaid and things along that line, I mean, it's just sad that you can take a Medicaid card and you can go get a sugary cereal, go buy Pop, but you can't buy a toothpaste with that, or you can't buy a toothbrush. There's just some inconsistencies in the system that can definitely be improved upon.
the sealants are a great preventive measure. And I'm a public health dentist. I spent my entire career looking at preventing disease and was involved with Cincinnati's first sealant program and helped to build the sealant program in the inner city schools here and was involved with getting water fluoridation over the hump. So yeah, I'm a prevention guy. But I also recognize that no matter what we do, we're always going to have treatment needs in the community as well. And so we have to have a balanced – we've got to have a balanced approach. You know, when we talk about cancer, there's lots of stuff out there about what we can do to prevent different types of cancer, but we don't abandon treatment and we don't abandon looking for more cost-effective ways to provide that treatment. As a public health practitioner, I'm going to look for the most cost-effective, most cost-effective quality way to get care to the greatest number of people. So, you know, for those, as I said before, for those folks that have insurance and can afford to go to the dentist, they are pretty much taken care of. But if you look at the distribution of where dentists are, they're primarily in areas where people have insurance, can afford to pay for dentists. But, you know, Mark referred before to the fact that, a high percentage of people are within a short distance from a Medicaid provider. Well, there's only about 12% of the dentists in the state that take any volume of Medicaid patients. Some people say it's higher, some people say it's lower, but the bottom line is that if you look at the Cincinnati Health Department clinics, for example, when I retired some years back, there were 1,000 people on a waiting list at every clinic. We had state-of-the-art clinics. We had dentists working there. And we had 1,000 people on the waiting list at every clinic. And the waiting list grew weekly. I mean, there was a net growth on the waiting list. So, you know, if we're looking for surely we want to educate folks. But if you're looking for, there's an awful lot of low-hanging fruit out there of people that want care that can't get it. And that's also the elderly on fixed incomes who don't have any coverage at all. There's only about 25% of folks that are over 65 that have any dental insurance whatsoever. And now they've reached the point where they're on fixed incomes and oftentimes have a real problem with affording some of the care that they might need.
Let's talk about Senate Bill 98. What's that going to do? How's it going to work?
Well, Senate Bill 98 would create a, there have been a number of bills out there recently. So Senate Bill 98 specifically creates a dental therapist. Dental therapists have existed in, they're now in over 50 countries around the world. New Zealand has had them for almost 100 years. They are people who get extensive training. Actually, about 75% of the dental training that a dentist gets, or 75% of the dental training hours that a dentist receives, to do about 10% of the procedures that a dentist gets training for. It's the routine, some of the more routine procedures.
For example?
Some preventive services, education, routine fillings, restorations. The silver fillings, the white fillings that people get on their teeth, and simple extractions. They've been in Alaska. They've had a tremendous impact on access to care in Alaska. Some new reports were released today from Minnesota showing the impact that they're having, some case studies and the impact that they're having in Minnesota. So those are the two states that have had them for any length of time. Oregon and Washington have them in tribal communities only, which are new programs that have just come to those states. Vermont and Maine have passed legislation to create dental therapists. So it's a cost-effective way. And I think one of the biggest things about this model, and I want to say there are other models as well. This isn't the only model. But one of the big things is that folks are recruited from their communities to enter these programs, to return to their communities. It's not going away for 8 years of college. It's a shorter term. It's a three academic year that's two full calendar year program. And it's been working very successfully and with a very high quality of care being delivered.
And Dr. Bronson, I want to get your position on dental therapists.
I'm against dental therapists. I have a Medicaid practice that about maybe 30-40% of my practice is Medicaid. Unfortunately, a lot of these patients, when they do require irreversible procedures, can sometimes be a little difficult. Having a two-tiered dental system is wrong. It's wrong from the aspect of we tell you because you're poor, because you don't have money, you don't deserve a high-quality care. You deserve this therapist that can do irreversible procedures, that can, you know, pull teeth. There are a lot of potential complications that can come in with just what is being cloned as a simple extraction. You can have extreme bleeding. You can have reactions to local anesthetics. There are a lot of potential things. And to create a two-tier system, it's just not equal, it's not fair, and it's not how the state of Ohio should address this concern. There are a lot of new things that are coming out. We have a House Bill 184, which is having a hearing Wednesday, that has been offered by the Ohio Dental Association to actually increase things like teledentistry, to increase the capacity to get more dentists into the field. The Ohio State University is looking to add 10 more people from underserved communities or to more dental positions each year for the next 4 years that will expand and get more dentists into the area, even though we still do have a significant amount of Medicaid dentists and places that are available for people to receive the care that they truly need.
Now, from what I understand in the bill, a therapist would work under the advisement of a dentist?
Advisement and under the supervision of a dentist are two totally different things. Now, advisement means they don't have to be in the actual site, so they can still be working independently according to how the bill is written.
So the bill in Ohio—
Actually, the bill—
We'll let Ann go, then we'll let you go, Dr. Hill. Go ahead, Ann.
It does not allow for independent practice, and there's a statement in there in the bill that says the dental therapist shall not practice in a manner that is independent from supervising dentist. We are also looking at areas where the supervising dentist, the number of patients must be 20% or higher for that are Medicaid recipients. We are looking at federal and state dental shortage areas. That is getting worse. We started out with 59 areas in 2011. Today, we've got 85. So out of 88 counties, we have 85. And the thing is, there's also a supervision agreement between the dental therapist and the supervising dentist that they practice under. And that dentist can list any exclusions, limitations, conditions that the DT cannot provide. And it is an agreement. And the dentist can say, okay, out of the 35, 36 services, procedures that you are allowed legally in the state of Ohio, I'm comfortable with you doing 20 or 25 right now. Maybe later we'll go all the way up. They decide. They are in total control of this with the supervision. It is not independent practice at all. And we're also looking at these dental therapists within the bill. It states they must graduate from a Commission on Dental Accreditation program. CODA is an arm of the ADA, the same as all dental schools in Ohio, all dental hygiene programs in Ohio must be accredited through CODA to be licensed. That's also in the bill that any DT in Ohio would have to have graduated from a CODA approved with all the high standards, meet those qualifications, before Ohio would grant them a license. And we're looking at, this is a public issue, social justice issue.
Dr. Hill, go ahead.
Yeah, as Dr. Bronson said, there are some other models out there. House Bill 184 that talks about teledentistry. I don't have a problem with teledentistry, but teledentistry isn't still going to get the treatment to the folks where they are. I'm familiar with that model. It was developed out in San Francisco. It's having, it has its positive outcomes. But for some folks and some needs, it doesn't go far enough. Regarding a two-tier system of care, I've got to say that right now we've been working for years with a two-tier system of care. You either get it or you don't get it. I think we have to look at all these models with an objective eye, and we have to look at the evidence. There's an awful lot that's being said that has about any of these models that have no evidence to support it. There is evidence that exists out there. That's what we need to look at. So, for example, there's this innuendo that the care is poor. Well, there's a lot of evidence out there. There have been evaluations done by people who are beyond reproach that looked at the quality of care for that scope of service delivered by therapists versus that delivered by dentists, and there's been no differences found in the scope in the quality of care. As far as you know, irreversible procedures, yeah, they're irreversible. But if there's no difference in quality, I don't think it's I don't think it's an issue. I think we've been biting around the edges of this problem for a long time, trying to look at solutions that don't have a significant impact and outcome. I think we've got some on the table right now that we really need to take a very close look at.
Well, if we want to talk about...
Let's let Dr. Bronson say something.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, we want to talk about significance of impact. Minnesota, which Dr. Hill has referred to, has now been warned by the federal government that 37% of the kids on medical assistance haven't had preventive care. Dental therapists have been there for 8 years. Dental therapists have not helped that system whatsoever. I mean, this was written by a May 1st article in the Minnesota Star Tribune, which is the main newspaper there in that area. Most of the therapists that are in Minnesota are in urban areas. They're not in rural areas. They're not addressing the care that's needed. Another point is we need immediate care for these people. Immediate care is not waiting for a therapist to graduate 2 years, waiting for a program to be accredited and approved by COTA, waiting for, you know, if the schools can create these programs. We have people that are out there that are losing their life based upon not access to care. There are a lot of facilities that people can see licensed dentists, that they can be treated, cared for in a proper manner, and overseen without some sort of overseer dentist. They can actually see a dentist, which makes more sense.
And I apologize, we're quickly running out of time here. Ann, can you tell us how far along this is in the Ohio Senate, where this stands in the legislative process?
It has had a sponsorship hearing. Then we are looking at the summer break, coming back in, and then doing proponent testimony and opponent testimony is where it stands right now. They should be back from summer break middle of August, end of September.
Okay, Ann, thank you very much. Dr. Bronson, Dr. Hill, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Past president of the Ohio Dental Association, Dr. Mark Bronson of Bronson Dental, Dr. Lawrence Hill, executive director of the American Association for Community Dental Programs, and Ann Naber, legislative committee chair and past president of the Ohio Dental Hygienist Association.